And for more on the racial tensions at the University of the Free State in South Africa, we've got Zinnie Magubane. She's an associate professor of sociology at Boston College in Newton, Massachusetts. Welcome.
Hi.
So you just heard Bill say, essentially, yes, this is a huge incident, but it doesn't compare with some of the other social issues. Do you think that there's too much focus on this?
No, I don't think that at all. I don't think it's an either-or type of equation. Because in essence, it's not that the outrage against this diminishes the outrage against rape or HIV or AIDS or any of those other things. In fact, I would say that these things, you know, rather than the reaction to those things being disparate, in essence, what people are reacting to is a culture and, in essence, a series of events that have at their root a basic disrespect for black life, especially black female life. So you can't really separate something like rape, the AIDS crisis, which disproportionately affects women, and this type of incident where the targets were, you know, poor black women, at their root is essentially the fact that they are continue to be so devalued.
When you think about this incident, there's some reports that they may have been playing a game akin to Fear Factor. Now, there's consent when you say yes, and then there's consent that may come from your situation and be tainted by the fact that you feel you really have no choice. Do you think that even if these women consented to it, that they did it under a kind of duress about their position?
I'm sure. I mean, you really cannot talk about consent in this type of situation, because consent implies that there is some basic equality between the two parties, right? And so these women, many of the news reports said that they had been employed in this particular residence hall, some of them for a long, many, many years, that the school is essentially an Afrikaans institution, that many of the students in this particular residence were privileged students, you know, and also the inequality that comes about through educational background, right? So, you know, it was not a sense that there were two people meeting on the grounds of equality who decided to play this game, but rather, you know, one group of people who purposefully picked, you know, a very weak member of the community. They didn't even go out and target their fellow black students. They went and targeted people that worked for them. You know, so they were very careful that they didn't want to play this so-called game with their fellow black students who most likely would have, you know, refused.
Now, in this case, you have a situation where many people, including South Africa's former president, F.W. de Klerk, have spoken out about this. There's a consensus that this was a bad thing at this moment. But what do you think the underlying cultural issues are? We've been throwing around the term Afrikaans, Afrikaner. How does that longstanding culture and history play into perhaps how this unfolded?
Well, you know, the university where the students who pulled this stunt were studying, you know, it was the university that produced a lot of the civil servants that kind of staffed, you know, the apartheid security branches, its sort of state apparatus, you know, and many of these students, you know, even though they're young, 18, 19, 20, when they were born and the parents they were born to never imagined that they would ever have to live, you know, in terms of equality with African people. And what you're seeing there is people who have come to the profound realization that their era of terror and domination is over. And again, to me, it's so profound that they attacked really what they probably felt were the last group of people that they could successfully lord over, which was these extremely poor women that had to work for them. Again, they didn't have, you know, the, I guess you could say, guts or tenacity or bravery to go after African people on their own level, fellow students, fellow middle-class people, but they directed their ire at that group, which, you know, is essentially the weakest group in the society.
There is a move to turn what was this all-white dorm into a diversity center, and it reminds me of the responses you often have in the U.S., you know, let's form a diversity council, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think something like this is going to work?
You know, it can't hurt in the sense that, you know, what has to be communicated loud and clear after an incident like this is that, first of all, that they don't work, that that attempt to intimidate people, attempt to roll back the, you know, the chain of progress is simply not going to work. And secondly, that it's important to assert not only that that's not going to work, but what the future is going to be, you know. So whether you call a diversity center or, you know, a series of lectures or what have you, what they need to be communicating, it's not so much the event itself of the diversity center, but rather a clear communication of blacks and whites are going to live on conditions of equality in this country.
Do you think that in the future, incidents like this, even if they happen, that there will be more oversight that may have put an end to this sooner, because it's been playing out over several months?
I think so. I mean, I think that these experiences, again, they tend to get spectacularized, you know, and day-to-day things like, you know, at other universities, it might not have had these type of, you know, well-known explosive incidents, maybe like a University of Cape Town or University of the Witwatersrand. Still, you know, it's well-known on those campuses that once the dorms or the residences are for blacks, once they integrated, white students moved out. They didn't perform those same sort of stunts, but they still, you know, walked out in protest that they didn't want to live, you know, side by side with blacks. So I think that, you know, when these incidents happen, you know, they kind of shed a light on something that's kind of insidious in a lot of different universities. And again, the message that gets sent is that we're not going backwards on this. You know, that we know it's going to take time. You know, we know that it's not going to happen overnight, but universities will be integrated spaces. This country will be an integrated country where, again, black and whites have to live side by side with mutual respect.
Zinni, thank you.
Thank you.
Zinni Magubane is an associate professor of sociology at Boston College. And next on News and Notes, some black judges say it's challenging to face black defendants in their courtroom. We get the scoop from our contributor, Judge Lynn Toler.